I'm Carrie Nolan. It's Monday, June 21st, and time for WQXR's Washington Report Online. David Sanger joins us now. He's the chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times. Good morning, David.
Morning, Carrie.
David, it seems that President Obama is damned if he does and damned if he doesn't with respect to the situation in the Gulf of Mexico. Last week, BP agreed, at the behest of the White House, to establish a $20 billion fund to pay for damage caused by the oil spill, as well as a $100 million fund to repay workers who lost their jobs because of the offshore drilling moratorium. Republican Congressman Joe Barton of Texas called the funds, quote, a shakedown. On the other hand, the president has also been accused of not getting involved quickly enough. Now, this smells a little like a double standard to me. Can the president win here?
Well, the president may be able to win here, and if he does, it's largely part to Mr. Barton, who's a Republican from Texas, who, as the Democrats will remind you every 20 seconds, takes a fair number of his campaign contributions from energy companies, as do many Democrats on that committee as well. When Representative Barton came out and declared that this was a shakedown, it didn't take until lunch before the Republican leadership forced him to apologize for his apology to BP. Here's the situation that the president finds himself in. It's undoubtedly good politics to beat up on BP here, and in this case, BP knew that it was going to end up paying a lot more than $20 billion anyway, so there wasn't a big loss to this. Over the long run, though, the president has developed something of a reputation when it turns to crises of bashing corporations. Think about General Motors, think about Toyota, think about Chrysler being forced into a merger, think about WellPoint, the insurer. And some people are concerned that over the long term that creates an atmosphere that could discourage investment.
You mentioned that the president had come down hard on some car companies. I hesitate to even ask this, but is this a sign of an anti-corporate agenda?
You know, of course, the White House denies it. Many people in the business community are certain of it. And you know, I think the answer is a lot more complex. In the GM case, would it have been more anti-corporate not to come down on them but let them go bankrupt? And so the White House said, you know, the United States in the end saved GM by pumping money into it, taking a big stake in it, which the U.S. intends to sell eventually. And look what just happened last week. GM announced that it's keeping its factories open over the summer to meet renewed demand. So some could argue, and the president certainly would, that he was simply stepping in to compensate for market excesses. But, you know, to those who want to depict Barack Obama as socialist or anti-corporate, there's a lot of ammunition out there just because of the degree of interference in the markets that the United States has been involved in.
Moving on to the upcoming G20 summit on global economic policy. Last year, world leaders agreed to permanently replace the smaller, Western-oriented group of seven for the broader group of countries that now represent about 90% of the world's GNP. Is it really possible to get 20 countries to agree on anything?
No, you can probably not even get them to agree on when to break for lunch, including, in this case, the fact that you've got some of the world's great market capitalist countries mixing in with a lot of state capitalists, starting with China. On the other hand, we have seen more cooperation among this group of countries during the past 2 years of financial crisis than anybody would have thought possible. And it was interesting that over the weekend, the Chinese finally acceded to a lot of international demand, some from the United States, that it begin to let its currency float again, which would have the effect of probably increasing the value of the Chinese currency, making it a little bit easier for American companies to export their goods to China and make Chinese imports a little more expensive. So there's an example of where jawboning within the G20 may have worked.
David, do you think this is lip service on the part of the Chinese, or will they really do it? And if they do it, when?
They will do it, but I think that you will find that they do it very, very slowly. The Chinese recognize that any rapid movement in the currency would result in, as we said, more imported goods coming into the country. And, of course, the Chinese are particularly nervous about unemployment, because unemployment directly can translate in the Chinese mind to social unrest. So my guess is that they're going to have the hand on this valve very, very hard.
If the Chinese follow through on the commitment, how much is it going to affect U.S. exporters, not to mention consumers, say, at Walmart?
My guess is that the consumers at Walmart will notice it a lot faster than the exporters will, because the consumer goods will rise in price probably on a shorter time frame. It's a longer decision period for Chinese companies to decide to bring in American or other foreign goods. And, of course, many of them are going to be under quiet political pressure to keep buying Chinese.
It's been a busy week in Washington for you. What stories are you going to be following this week?
You know, I think that this coming week, one of the interesting stories to follow is going to be to watch President Obama as he talks more about economic recovery, and I think you're going to begin to see him go to some of those car plants, maybe even some in which, you know, he gets to park in that reserve spot for the biggest single investor. So that's one thing. I think the second is to watch how the White House begins to push for energy legislation, because I think you will discover that they're going to try to now use the Gulf crisis to get through something, although probably not something that's got cap and trade, the most politically dangerous element of their energy legislation for the Obama administration.
Thanks a lot, David.
Thank you, Carrie.
New York Times chief Washington correspondent David Sanger. I'm Carrie Nolan, and that's the Washington Report on New York's classical 105.9 FM, WQXR.